Britain.
Bagehot. The last imperialists. The core of the British state still believes it can lead by example.
In the 1950s, the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament, or CND, became a fashionable cause among the who's who of Britain. Public intellectuals from Bertrand Russell to J.B. Priestley argued forcefully that the country should unilaterally lay down the bomb. "Our bargaining power is slight," wrote Priestley. "The force of our example might be great." A.J.P. Taylor, the first celebrity historian and a fellow initials lover, was another supporter of this cause. It was, he later realized, a futile endeavor. "We thought that Great Britain was still a great power, whose example would affect the rest of the world. Ironically, we were the last imperialists." Taylor was right about CND's failure, but wrong on another score. The imperialists are still going. Like Taylor's band of peaceniks, today's imperialists know that Britain can no longer rely on the force of arms. Instead, it must rely on the force of its example. Such thinking pervades British foreign policy, whether it be its approach to aid, climate change, or what to do with the remaining few fragments of its empire. In a world where, increasingly, might is right, Britain increasingly relies on a strategy of right is might. Take the case of the Chagos Islands, an archipelago in the Indian Ocean, almost empty but for a remarkably important Anglo-American airbase. A grubby deal in the 1960s separated the Chagos Islands from Mauritius, which, owing to colonial bureaucracy rather than any shared history, would have expected to control the islands upon gaining its own independence. On October 3rd, Britain agreed to hand over the islands to Mauritius, while retaining rights over the base on a 99-year lease. The main reason for surrendering the islands was realist. Without a deal, Britain faced years of legal wrangling over the status of the base that threatened mundane day-to-day operations, such as flying in the Filipino contractors who keep things ticking over there. But a secondary benefit was progressive. It staved off accusations of hypocrisy when Britain invokes international law elsewhere, whether over China's gimme-gimme attitude in the South China Sea or Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Seen from this perspective, giving up the Chagos Islands was ultimately for the greater good of British influence. Leading by the force of example has its limits, however. Not all countries share Britain's willingness to help turn Russian conscripts in eastern Ukraine into dust. If the status of a British atoll in the Indian Ocean stops providing other countries with a pretext to deny even diplomatic support to Ukraine, you can be sure that another excuse will take its place. And although double standards are bad, is it really better to equate a peaceful disagreement over sovereignty of an uninhabited archipelago with the invasion of an entire country? Maybe single standards are no better. Britain has nonetheless been forging a new role for itself as a geopolitical goody-two-shoes. This is a far-from-universal strategy among the ranks of the world's middle powers. Some are sticklers for international law, think Canada, but others have a much more casual relationship with it, think Turkey or Saudi Arabia. The new Labour government is determined to uphold the international system, even if its Tory predecessor had some doubts about it. "It is hugely important that we are a country that plays by the rules," says David Lammy, the Foreign Secretary. "Call it unilateral multilateralism, following the rule book, even if few others do." What price this belief in soft power? About £15 billion, that's $20 billion, in 2023, which was the size of Britain's foreign aid bill. Helping the world's destitute is a noble cause, yet British aid is justified almost entirely through the prism of British influence. Lord Cameron, a former Prime Minister, declared that Britain must remain an aid superpower, protecting the development budget, set at 0.7% of gross national income, while slicing other departments. It took the pandemic for the budget to be snipped, temporarily, to 0.5%. That triggered outrage among elite opinion, not because of the increase in suffering in developing countries, but because of the dip in British prestige. Sir Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister, has said he aspires to undo this cut, at which point Britain will lead again. The country would regain its place at the top table of those in the 0.7% club, among the likes of Luxembourg, Norway and Sweden. Tackling climate change has become another monument to British role modelling. Ed Miliband, the Energy Secretary who oversees Britain's green transition, has pledged nothing less than global leadership. Where Britain leads, others will follow, runs the innately imperial logic. Even climate scepticism is justified by the force of example. Claire Coutinho, Mr. Miliband's Conservative predecessor, has argued Labour is going too far too fast when it comes to net zero. Since Britain is such an influential player when it comes to climate, it must not be seen to screw it up. Where Britain leads, others follow, even if it is into a ditch. A shibboleth of the Brexit years was that leavers suffered from delusions of imperial grandeur. Proponents of quitting the EU were dismissed as trying to forge Empire 2.0, with Britain telling others what to do. But Remainers are just as prone to a progressive version of similar bombast. Turn up to a panel titled something like Global Britain, and it'll be filled with Remainers lamenting Britain's loss of clout. In an era without gunboats, staying in the EU was a means of projecting British power. The last imperialists want an empire built not on hard power, but on persuasion, with British ideas about aid, climate, and international law spreading around the world just as common law and cricket did in the 19th century. Instead, they risk the fate of Taylor and his accidental imperialists. "If you believe that Britain must lead, march with us," read one CND leaflet in 1958. "Let Britain lead the world." What was delusional then is delusional now.